Speaking of moving up, we're going to talk about my next partnership in Sacramento. I'm playing with Ben Johns. So Ben Johns is the greatest player of all time. So that's pretty interesting. Kind of cool to be playing doubles with the greatest player of all time. Kind of nerve-wracking because normally when I play pickleball, the balls are mostly going to my partners because I'm generally a little more dangerous than my partners are. Usually I can hit the ball a little harder. Now I'm playing with Ben Johns. So I'm going to see a lot of balls. I think that our opponents, if they were smart, would hit every ball to me. So we're going to see how this goes.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
All right, guys, so you may notice that my camera is a little better now, and the reason for that is Anna decided to buy me the newest version of the MacBook Pro, so really excited about that. I think she might have seen my last podcast and just said, you know, it looks like you're recording this on a potato. It's time for a change, and that's where we're at right now. So she got me the newest version of this computer. It's like $1,500 or something, which, I mean, to Anna, it's nothing. Obviously, she's making a ton of money, but to me, it means a lot. So I'm super excited about this. This podcast has officially made its second upgrade. Its first upgrade was getting a real producer. We got Josh behind the scenes. He might have his own podcast one day. This guy's pretty dialed. But anyway, we have a producer now. We've got a camera that was, you know, a MacBook that was made in the last 10 years. The MacBook that I was recording on before, I think my mom bought it for me when I was like 14, 15. So we're definitely, we're moving up in the world right now. So speaking of moving up, we're going to talk about my next partnership in Sacramento. I'm playing with Ben Johns. So Ben Johns is the greatest player of all time. So that's pretty interesting. Kind of cool to be playing doubles with the greatest player of all time. Kind of nerve-wracking because normally when I play pickleball, the balls are mostly going to my partners because I'm generally a little more dangerous than my partners are. Usually I can hit the ball a little harder. Now I'm playing with Ben Johns, so I'm going to see a lot of balls. I think that our opponents, if they were smart, would hit every ball to me. So we're going to see how this goes. It's going to be really hot in Sacramento. It's going to be like 99, I think. So I think right now, actually, it's like 103 in Sacramento. So I didn't think it would be that hot. One of the reasons I signed up for it is because it's in Northern California. So I kind of figured it wouldn't be hot. And I was wrong. But luckily, I'm playing with Ben Johns, so I don't have that much to complain about. So that's all we got on that front. We are going to now talk about one of the main issues that I've seen. Let me actually look. I forgot what I was going to talk about. Oh, yeah. So this is something that we should definitely talk about because I am somebody who thinks that the game is going to be changing with these new paddles. I think, obviously, the paddles are getting more powerful. And, yes, the Gen 3s got banned, and they're trying to offset some of these effects of the more powerful paddles. But I think it's definitely going to be a general trend where these paddles are going to be, you know, maybe they're not going to be as powerful as the Gen 3, but I think they're going to be very close to it. You know, you look at these paddles and these companies, I don't think they're going to want to totally push back or, you know, pull back all of their production of these super powerful paddles. What I would say is, you know, maybe the average paddle is going to be 90% as powerful as the Gen 3. And I think maybe there won't be paddles that are as powerful as the Gen 3 because those will get banned. But I think that all of the other paddle companies will start to get to this point where we're like, okay, you know, 90% of this power is what people like. And I think the softer paddles are maybe going to lose popularity, especially as players get better and they get more comfortable with controlling more powerful paddles. Because me personally, I like a really powerful paddle because I feel like, you know, I've been playing for 2.5 years. I feel really comfortable controlling it. So to maximize the ceiling of my game, well, You get comfortable controlling a really powerful paddle so that your counters and your volleys and your overheads can be stronger. And if you're somebody who has great control, well, it doesn't make as much sense to use a very control-oriented paddle. And I think that as the level of pickleball gets better, because you can be sure in 2 or 3 years from now, the average 5.0 or 4.5 will be a lot better than the average 5.0 or 4.5 today, I've got a feeling that the game will trend toward people looking for the most powerful paddle they can find, because almost everybody's going to feel comfortable controlling it. Because if there's one thing for sure, your control of the pickleball will get better and better and better almost every time you play. But at a certain point, it's kind of tough to improve your power and your hand speed. I think at a certain point, there are some genetic factors there and it kind of gets capped. So that's just my personal opinion.
So before we get into this episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you are missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lesson courses, podcasts like mine, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily, from gripping PPA tournament matches like the ones that I'm in, or live coverage of a grandstand court to insightful player interviews? Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. And if you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to download the app today.
And since the paddles are getting more powerful, I think it gets way, way, way more important to be crushing your returns, hitting very hard returns, because of two things. Since you have a more powerful paddle, you can really put a lot of pace and depth on the return. And I think that if you're just pushing the return in, giving your opponent an opportunity at an easy third, you're leaving something on the table. I think for me, I'm always trying to crush my returns. I think if you miss one return I won't put a number on it, but if you miss a return here and there, as long as it's deep, I think that's okay. I think you should be hitting the return very hard. Reason for that is also because these paddles are more powerful, it is harder to control your third shot drops. And if you hit a very hard return, it's harder to hit a third shot drive off of that return, and drives are getting more and more prevalent. So for me, I think it's very, very important to hit the return very hard, because keep in mind, people say that transition is the most important part of the game. You know, you got to get to the kitchen if you want to win points. And that is totally true. Well, the return is the shot that's keeping people back. Initially, right? That first third shot that you hit is off of a return. So if you can hit a very hard return, it's going to make it a lot tougher for people to come into the kitchen. So I think that's super important. I mean, for me, I think a year ago, I used to kind of push my returns in, and the harder and harder I hit my returns, the more success I've had. And this is especially important if you're somebody that's taller, somebody that has a lot of power, who really can put a lot of pressure on your fourth shots. Like me, for example, I love to put a ton of pressure on my fourths. Fourths meaning the ball right after the third, right? Whether it's off the bounce or out of the air, I like to keep people back and really hit that one hard. And if you're somebody who has a great overhead or a ball, you know, if it's shoulder high, you feel like you can put it away, I think you'd be crazy not to really be putting a lot of pressure on your returns, trying to hit them hard. Because if you have the ability to put the ball away from your shoulder height and really make it almost impossible for people to get in when they're in transition, if you've got a ball up here, then hit the return hard. It's in the budget to miss a return or two, because if you have that advantage and you just push your return and say, hey, come into the kitchen line, let's just dink, then you're not taking advantage of your length or your power. So if you're somebody that has a lot of power and can really hit those balls hard, then hit the return hard. And honestly, if you're somebody who doesn't, I still wouldn't push the return in. I would try to do something with the return. There's almost no shot in pickleball that you should be hitting for no reason, just kind of like trying to push it in, just trying to make it. I think that's a thing of the past. I mean, for me, I'm always being intentional about every shot that I hit. So if it's a serve, I'm trying to hit it hard. If it's a return, I'm trying to hit it hard. And if it's a third shot, I'm trying to do something with it, whether it's try to make it bounce in the middle to make the other player, you know, to prevent their angles, or if I'm trying to get some roll and get some topspin on it. There's always something that I'm trying to do with the shot, and I would highly recommend being intentional about all of your shots in pickleball. If there's a shot where you're just kind of pushing it in and you know, being cooperative, so to speak, or letting your opponent play, that's not the way to do it. You know, I know pickleball is a social game and we're all friends, but I think at the end of the day, you're trying to win, and there should always be a purpose with every shot that you hit. So we're going to talk about something else that's pretty interesting. So the paddles are getting more powerful and the game is speeding up, as people say, but an interesting development here is that the top two teams in men's doubles, which means those are the best, you know, two teams in the sport, in the history of the sport, these two teams are, they play very slow. So it's interesting. It's like, you know, we have all these powerful paddles. There's bangers. There are people who are crushing the ball and trying to hit speed ups on almost every shot. But the two best teams that have been created in the history of the sport that are playing right now are playing very slow. And that's Ben and Colin Johns and J.W. Johnson and Dylan Frazier. You know, when those two teams play each other in finals, it's actually really bad for TV. It's like watching paint dry. I can't even watch it almost. I mean, you'll have 60 ball dink rallies. They, well, I probably shouldn't say it. I was talking to somebody who may or may not be involved with the putting the pickleball on the TV aspect of this. And they were like, look, we don't even want to put the men's doubles finals on TV if it's those guys, because it just looks bad. If you're somebody who doesn't play pickleball and you watch JW and Dylan play against Ben and Colin, they're just dinking back and forth for 3 minutes. It's like, this doesn't look fun at all. And they're right. It doesn't look fun. It's incredibly slow. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with it. I mean, there's a reason that those guys are winning, but it is very, very slow. So it makes you think, why is that the case? And it also makes you think that if those are the best two teams, and if pickleball keeps getting better and better and better, where more teams get closer and closer to that level, does that mean that the players that are going to be getting better are going to be playing slower and slower? Because if that's the pinnacle of pickleball right now, well, in 3 years, that might be, you know, the average of the pro game, right? Because right now, the average of the pro game, if you put them 3 or 4 years ago, they'd be at the top, if that makes sense. You know, the 10th best team right now, if you just took them and then plucked them, put them 4 years ago, they would be at least making the final. So if you reverse that, then that means that maybe in 3 or 4 years, the 10th best team will be as good as what Ben and Colin or JW and Dylan are now. And that begs the question, are those teams going to be playing really slow too? Is this a trend toward, you know, extremely slow pickleball? And the reason for that is because as you get better and better, the top teams in men's doubles have great counterattacks. Namely, JW and Dylan are so good at countering, so good at volleying the ball off of speed ups that it almost doesn't make sense to speed up to them. And actually, in a, you know, kind of a counterintuitive, crazy way, the more powerful the paddles are at the top of the game, the slower the game is going to get. And the reason for that is if I'm playing against JW or Dylan with great counterattacks, you know, very powerful volleys, then I don't really want to speed up to them, because as paddles get more powerful, the volleys and the counterattacks get better and better. But there is a ceiling to how good a speed up can be, because you do have to keep it in at the end of the day for the most part. Of course, some of them are going to be going out. Those are called full bags. But most speed ups, you want to try to keep them in. So since the counters and, you know, get better and better with more powerful paddles, it's definitely an interesting sort of way that the game slows down, because people are just dinking back and forth, afraid to speed it up to each other. And it makes sense. You look at the women's game where the counters aren't as powerful and it's way faster. Speed ups are just willy-nilly. Players are speeding it up all over the place because there's not as much risk of a super powerful counterattack in women's doubles. So the women's doubles game is way faster and frankly more fun to watch than the men's doubles game. So it's actually, and this is kind of a random, you know, this is just my personal opinion. I think the paddle should get softer. I think if we're not going to make the ball softer, I mean, the ball is getting a little softer, but I think we should make the paddles, you know, every paddle should be at most as powerful as like the Selkirk Halo or the 004, one of those pretty soft paddles, not the Lux, more powerful than the Lux, don't worry, but maybe the 004 or the 006, as they called it. Reason for that is, if the paddles are less powerful, I think we can be more creative and less worried about these crazy counterattacks that could hit us in the eye and hurt us. And I think that gives players the freedom to speed up more balls, and it makes the game more fun. So, yeah, I'm somebody who doesn't really believe in these incredibly powerful paddles. I think that it makes the game slower, actually, at the highest level. I'm not saying it does that at the amateur level. I'm sure you guys are playing against people with Gearbox Pros and Yola Gen 3s who are just crushing everything. So, no, that's not what I'm saying. But I think for the pro game specifically, I think it would very much benefit from there being a ceiling on how much power these paddles can impart on the ball, which would, in my opinion, be maybe the 004 or the 006. So that's just my personal opinion. I'm sure a lot of you guys love your Gearbox Pros, so I'm not going to, you know, and trust me, I can't say what I'm about to say, but I get it. I get loving those paddles. Selkirks are better, of course, as a Selkirk podcast, but I would understand if you really love playing with those paddles, and I'm not going to blame you for it. So yeah, maybe I'm just salty. I don't know. But anyway, I think that's it for now. We're just going to leave it at that. Before I talk any more about these other paddles on the Selkirk podcast, can't be doing that. I also want to shout out to everybody who's been coming up to me at these tournaments. And, you know, I was just in Dallas, and I could have swore there's probably 10 people that came up to me and said that they really loved the content from the newsletter and my YouTube channel. That's my favorite thing to hear. If you ever see me at a tournament and you are subscribed to the newsletter or to my YouTube channel, come up to me and tell me. I love hearing that. I also like it when people say that I'm a great player, like, you know, Big Papa Jimmy. That's great. But truly, my favorite thing is when people say that they either watch the podcast or they're subscribed to the newsletter. There was a nice lady at the last tournament who said that she subscribed to the newsletter. She's been watching the content, and she said it's helped her game so much. Forgot her name, but anyway, yeah, that's the stuff that really is my favorite, because I love helping players get better. I'm giving it all away for free, the newsletter and the YouTube, obviously. I just want players to get better because it's a new sport, and that's also why this podcast is all a coaching podcast, because I really just enjoy helping players get better, because I know that, you know, when I started playing 2 years ago and I signed up for a clinic and players were people were telling me, yeah, just push the serve in, only hit a one-handed backhand, all these crazy things. The game wasn't as fun for me. And I personally know how much more fun the game got for me when I learned how to play the right way. So, you know, whether you get it from me or whether you get it from other pros and other content, I think it's super important to learn how to play the right way, because for me, it made it so much more fun. So, yeah, that's all we got today. Thank you for watching.